Is KAYT Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
be all right.
At 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT.
No worry.
Got the gospel
be all right.
Transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Praise is what I do. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
If you'll get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Let's make some adjustments. This is not right up here. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you today in this wonderful opportunity you've given us to not only hear your word, but to heed your word. And so, Lord God, as we turn our attention to your word, we pray that you would take the word that we're teaching, tailor it so that each and every hearer's heart may hear this word and heed it so that they may practice the principles and profit from them, and more especially give you the praise. We thank you for what you shall speak to our spirits. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen and amen. God bless you. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I want to look at verse 3 recorded of these words. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. I want to talk about the success of faith this morning.
the success of faith. There are three areas that I hope to get to. I know I won't get to them all in this hour, but certainly I want you to know what they are so that in your study time you can certainly look through those and understand them, practice them, and profit from them. Success of faith. There are three areas that you must, and they are building blocks, if you will, to the success of faith. The first of which is where we are in Romans 12 and 3, and that's the source of faith. The source of faith. We're going to then move on to the speech of faith. The speech of faith. And then thirdly, to the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith. The source of faith, the speech of faith, and the spirit of faith. And the first is foundational because it is upon this foundation that we recognize that God has already given every man the measure of faith. That's the source of our faith. That is the faith of service, the faith of the spirit, the faith of power to operate in the gifts that he's given us, the faith to believe. All of this again comes out of the measure of faith that God gives to every man. One of the things that is so important for us to recognize in the realm of faith is that faith comes from God. And God gives every man a measure of faith, the measure of faith. And the, as opposed to a, is important because the represents the totality of faith. Everything that I will ever need while I'm on this side of glory to receive from God or to operate in the things of God is going to be done through the measure of faith God has given me from the beginning to the end. It includes my growth. It includes my development. It includes my increase of faith. All of it is a part of the measure that God has given to me to do everything in this life he has assigned and designed me to be able to do and you to be able to do. And you must understand and recognize that the measure of faith is important because God can never ever get anything from heaven to earth to you manifested for you without faith being a part of it. Not as it relates to the promises and not as it relates to those things that he has assigned to you. So it's important to know that God himself structured and instituted faith and therefore gave it to every man. Now listen to this. It's where you put your faith, place your faith, that's going to decide and determine what you get from your faith. So if you think you don't have faith to believe God for something, know this, that while you have the faith to believe God, you may not have exercised your faith to believe God. You may not have operated in your faith to believe God, and you may not presently be standing in that place where faith that it takes, that amount of faith to get from God to you what it takes. But you have been given enough faith to run this race. Now, one of the things that I want to again establish in this foundational faith, the measure that God has given you, I want you to say with me, I want you to confess, God has given me more than sufficient faith for my life here on planet Earth. Now, when you know that, you need to know that there is nothing that's impossible with God if you have faith in God. When Jesus was telling the disciples that they could do these impossible things, he starts off by saying, have faith in God. Well, where do you get faith from? From God. But it doesn't mean that you put faith back in God. And so wherever you apply your faith, that's where you expect your growth from. So here, notice here where he says, but there are some things that I want to look at that he does say for us so that we'll understand this measure here that God is talking about. Verse 1 of the 12th chapter says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, talking about born again people, by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So now, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, is a reasonable service. Now look at this now. One of the things that you got to realize is most sacrifices in biblical times were dead sacrifices. They could only make one sacrifice, and they did not initiate the sacrifice. It was others using them as a sacrifice. But now here, Paul reminds the church at Rome of how, as born-again believers, as those who have been saved and sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ, must operate in a different faith or vein. And so here he says, we are to become a living sacrifice, which means then that we recognize that once our life has been bought and purchased by the Lord, it is no longer our life. We can't have our lives bought and purchased from us and we still retain it. So here what we must understand is that the body that we now occupy is actually the body housing the life that belongs to Jesus Christ. All right, it looks like the same body, but it's got new management on the inside. And because there's new management on the inside, it is, of course, all his. So when he wants me to live holy and do those things acceptable unto him, meaning knowing his word, knowing his will, doing it his way, then I ought to count myself blessed that he lets me have this body to do what he wants me to do, which includes living holy and doing things acceptable unto him, because I could have been dead and gone. But because he lets me live on, I'm living on to his glory and to his honor. When I begin to understand it, I begin to realize that's a good trade-off. Dead or holy? Y'all not hearing me? Dead or living so he's pleased that I am alive? I mean, when you recognize what he has done, and so he literally paid the price. This body doesn't belong to me. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. The life that's on the inside belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just glad to be in the service. One more time. And so recognizing that as such, it brings a whole different mindset. Okay, and this is what you've got to see, because it's a living sacrifice. So that means when he wants me to do something, I'll not have issues with it, because it ain't my life, my body anyhow. He just wakes me up and say, all right, we got stuff to do today, let's get on up. You know, and when something happens to this body, listen, I have the right through faith to go and say, God, there's something wrong with your body here. And I know that this body has been redeemed from the curse of the law. So if sickness gets in this body, it doesn't have a right to live in this body. I got the power to reject it, because this is yours and I'm serving, and I can't use all of the sickness and serve you the way that you desire. It's so many other things you got to understand that you walk through in this arena of faith, knowing and understanding it's not yours, but his. Again, so when I make living sacrifices, meaning daily sacrifices in this flesh with the Spirit of God in living on the inside of me, that's a reasonable service. And then it says, verse 2, and, which is a conjunction tying this together, be not conformed to this world. Mean don't act like or look like or fit in the mold like this world. I am in the world, but I am not of the world. I am in the world to make an impact on the world. I am different to make a difference. I am a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the only reason why he lets me stay here is so that I could say something about him. And wherever he sends me and then desires me to open my mouth, it is for his glory, not my good. That's why I tell you, it's a difference between bragging and broadcasting. Psalm 24:1 tells me I ain't got nothing. The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. But when you serve him, he'll let you use his stuff. Talking about you own some land. You don't own no land. You might have a title or deed that has your name on it that literally is just saying you're managing it until he takes you away from here. Y'all ain't hearing me here. You get caught up on it. It's mine, it ain't mine, it's thine. And you realize that. the better you desire to serve him, and you serve him with all you are, he gives you better tools to serve him with. And anything that pertains to godliness in this life, he gives it to you with no problem. So you got to see it the way God sees it. It's his. It's all his. And you are his in the service of his. So you ought to see it like this. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Transformed. We've got to raise above. We've got to come out and not look like. We've got to be a greater image than the image of the world. It says, and be not transformed, be ye transformed rather, and be not conformed, but be ye transformed. How does that start? By the renewing, continuation, renewing of what? Of your mind. I've got to change the world's concepts in my mind and get the word concept in my mind. I can't operate in the world's measures and expect to get word profit. I have got to operate in the word even while I'm in the world to get the promises of the word and the profit of the word. If I do that, I'm going to listen, utilize the mind of God, which is the word of God, so that when I begin to open up my mouth, I, through the creative power and force of my speaking, begin to shape things the way they ought to be and not just the way they are. See, so many of us don't understand, because our minds have not been renewed. We most times speak statements of facts rather than statements of faith. And so I can say a statement of fact, I have a cold, I'm dealing with sinus, or there's sickness in my body, or I'm going through this, or I have that problem. That's a statement of fact. I'm not denying that. But here is my point. I can either stand from the standpoint of flesh and speak a statement of faith, or I can stand from that of the statement or the faith of my source and speak a statement of faith. In other words, I can say, I have a cold, or I can say, I am delivered of this cold, or I am no longer receiving this cold, or this cold will not remain in this body. I am acknowledging an issue of the cold, but it's in faith moving it from me and not the reality of it existing in me. Every time I say I have a cold, I am reestablishing the hold of the cold on me. But when I begin to speak, I am healed of this cold, I begin to loosen the hold of the cold on me. And so the cold can't leave if I'm holding the cold. That applies to every other issue, but I think you can handle cold right now, so I'm going to stay on the cold level for you. And so when you begin to realize the reason why colds and every other disease and sickness and cancer, et cetera, stays with you is because even when it gets ready to try and leave out your body, you say, I got a cold. Cold say, oh, well, let me put my bags down. I guess he wants me to stay a little while longer. Now, I'm saying this, and it may sound humorous, but that's the difference between a statement of fact and a statement of faith. You can say what you have, or you can say what you will have. You can say what you are, or you can say what you are becoming. It's whether you desire and decide to align your faith with your source. And we'll deal a little more about that with the speech of faith, because the speech of faith is important. But the problem is going to be, even in dealing with the speech of faith, if you're just talking faith talk and don't have the faith source, then you still will be. See, you can talk. There is a source of faith we talked about. There is a speech of faith. There is a spirit of faith. But you're also going to know that there is a fact of faith. And then there is the faith factor. That means when you speak, you're speaking faith into your situation. But then there is also a talk of foolishness that seems like faith. And a whole lot of us, that's called foolish faith, because you ain't got nothing to back that up with. And you're talking with nothing connected to that you ain't got nothing to back up with. So that's foolish faith. And most of us who talk faith most times talk foolish faith, Because one, they don't have the faith from the word to back it up. And secondly, they don't have no attachment to it or conviction with it to hold on to it. So that's fool. That's just naming and claiming. That don't get you nothing. But the claim of a fool.
All right.
Let me move on. I'm going to show you something else here. Renewing. Somebody say renewing. That means I am constantly, if I'm renewing my mind, that means I am constantly learning, I am constantly developing, I am constantly deleting. Listen at this. As I develop some truths about some things, I've got to delete some things that are not true. If I have discovered that the knowledge I've been operating in is not sufficient to get, gather, and gain the things that I want, God desires, and I need for those things that He wants to bring into my life, then I need to delete those things from my vocabulary. I need to delete those things from coming out of my mouth. I need to delete those things from out of my mind. I should not store stuff in my life that's not valuable to the kingdom or me. And see, a whole lot of folk don't understand that while you begin to develop, the renewing process is deleting the stuff that does not work. Why would you hold on to that? Because inclusive of that are hurt feelings and heartaches and, you know, disappointment and disillusionment. It's trouble and pains and problems of the past. It's all of the stuff that God does not desire you to hold on to. But in holding on to those things, that's the devil's way of keeping you in the place that you're in. Because it literally keeps you looking back and holding back in the past. So then you got to renew your mind. So renewing your mind is a daily process. And in renewing your mind, you're going to discover, too, you're going to have to start not only thinking differently, but speaking differently. And so if you think about the way that you've been thinking over the last 5 years, and if you're not where you are from 5 years ago, it might be sufficiently safe to say that thinking doesn't qualify you for getting where you want to go. And so you've got to recognize that if it's that thinking that can't get you to where you need to be or God desires you to be, then your mind must be renewed. But what is most important is what you use to renew your mind with. Not television and videos and radios and all of the stuff of the world, not the magazines and the mess that's in the world. What you need is the Word of God to renew your mind aright with.
Yes.
See, I can't have right thinking unless I've got right content to think on. And if I don't have right content to change the way that I've been thinking, I'm going to think, and then my think is going to be an outgrowth of my actions, or actions will be an outgrowth of my thinking. And so what I've got to realize is whenever I act out, it's because I thought out what I've done before it ever came to pass. So if, again, I've been getting what I've always been getting, it's because I've been doing what I've always been doing, and I've been doing what I've always been thinking. So because I want to change what I do, I got to change what I think, but I've got to change my content so my thinking can change. Listen well now. By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You mean to tell me it's not about my will? No. I've got to renew my mind so that I can get everything aligned up with His will. I don't belong to me no more, so I can't be interested wholly in what belongs to me. There is a benefit for me for serving Him, but it must be about Him and His will for my life. His will brings in the promises. His will brings in the profit. His will brings in the pleasure. It's His will, not mine. And notice what the word says, verse 3. For I say, through the grace, somebody said grace, given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, the word doesn't say you don't think low of yourself. And the word doesn't say you shouldn't think high of yourself. The word does say Don't think yourself to be more than you are. I am somebody. God wants me to know it and be able to show it. I am somebody. But when it gets to the point when I am thinking I'm more than what I am, the word says I've got a problem then. Now listen again to what the word says. For I say, through the grace given unto me, which means, and Paul has stated this so many times before, I am, like it or not, what I am by the grace of God. You are, like it or not, what you are by the grace of God. Now, keeping in mind this, whatever you are, God has graced you to be, but whatever you are at this present time is still not the fulfillment of what you shall become. And the grace that brought you to this point is the same grace that will bring you to the place that God has destined for you to go. And so when you know this, you can't think yourself more highly than you ought, because you recognize it really isn't you, but Him working through you that brings to fruition the things that come out of you. See, you got to realize you don't get a big head when you realize that the God you serve is working in you and through you. It's one thing to let other folk wind you up. It's a whole nother thing when you wind yourself up. Now listen at this, because again it says, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself, say more highly than he ought to think. Listen at this, but to think soberly. That means sanely, that means rationally, that means balanced, soberly, without the influence of intoxication, soberly, without being inebriated, having a false sense of who you are, soberly. And so you've got to recognize that the Word of God wants you to think soberly of yourself. What is soberly? I'll give you another illustration of soberly. Soberly is knowing you ain't all that and He still uses you. It's like, I don't know why He's using you. You say, yeah, me neither. That's soberly. I'm not trying to act like I'm all that, like I got all of that, like this is all of this and that's all of that. No, I am what I am by the grace of God, and He chose to use me. And I say, thank you, Jesus. That is sober. In other words, you are not inflating, or you are not bringing to another place of not being real the reality of who you are or where you are. You are saying, listen, I know who I am, and in spite of me, for His glory, He uses. Now, I don't know it all, but what He does is He uses what I do know. That's thinking soberly.